Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Our reading today, can you hear me? Yep. Our reading today is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Thank you. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
Hi. Hello. Good to be here again. I'm really excited to have my good old, not old, no, he's not old. Yeah, he's old. Is he old? Yeah, he is. Robbie, my friend. Now, I just want to clear something up here. Robbie was an elder at my last church, and it was his fault I came here because he gave me a reference. So see this man, and he spoke to Andy on the phone first. So Andy, put your hand in there. So any issues with that, Robbie and Andy, their fault. The Lord used them mightily to bring me here. Praise the Lord, bless you both. Just wanted to say that. It's really great to see Robbie. Robbie's coming to be part of the Portugal team that we're planning. We have a mission team going to Portugal from the 1st to the 11th of July. And Robbie has been to Portugal a few times with me. And there's been amazing blessings. So he's come to look after me, probably, really. Make sure I don't keel over and everything else. So that's pretty good. It's really lovely to see you. Friends from Norwich, is that sort of way, isn't it, Gerald? Yeah, absolutely, it's Norwich, yeah, good. Sorry about Hull City beating you yesterday. I don't know if you're a football fan. 4 penalties in 1 game, ridiculous. But there you go, it's really lovely. Welcome to our new facility as well, if you're a visitor for the first time. If you're a young adult, our young adults meet tomorrow evening. So see Rachel, put your hand in, who's just been leading. Please do that, it's a fantastic group. How many have you got now, a dozen? 14 young adults, pretty good. So, yeah, and if you're 45, you're not a young adult, by the way. I just don't want to see me about that. But bless you, you might be in here. It's really good. I saw Grace in hospital on Friday. She's in a great spirits, but she's broken her arm in several places. And it will mean, I was chatting to her daughters, that she will probably need some care. Ruth Shepherd, they're dealing with a blood clot on the lung, and she's still in there. And that's fine. But it will mean that there'll be ongoing treatment, which is great. We are blessed. We really, really are in this country with the NHS. And, you know, it's really, really great. So pray for Ruth. Frank's home, but he's obviously still struggling and weak, so Mess is not here today as well. And Manoa's frustrated at home still. She has to have an operation. But please do visit and call these folks. And there are others as well. There's so many, they forget. It's good that Janet's feeling better. And we've been praying. So would you pray with me? And we're going to dive into this passage and see what the Lord has to say. He has something to say to all of us. Oh, it's great to see Trish as well. Yeah, and Grace, fantastic. Yeah, look. So, Lord, we thank you so much that we are a family. We are individuals, Lord, with stories and struggles. Yet somehow you are able by your Spirit to come and speak into our lives. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can come to you as your children, that we've been bought at a great price, your only son. Lord, I pray that as a result of that, that our response to your initiative, your first love, will be our allegiance, that we will love you in return with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our very being. That, Lord, for those we've mentioned, Lord, we realize that every time we are ill, that we are frail, that, Lord, that this is not it. We look forward to that new heavens and a new earth. We look forward to the bodily resurrection of your people with that new body, Lord, where there'll be no more crying or sorrow or pain. But we acknowledge that we are here now with very real pain and daily struggles. Would you, Holy Spirit, in the way that only you can today, not through some charisma of a song or a pastor or a message, but Lord, by your Spirit working in our very hearts, in the deepest recesses of my soul this morning, Lord, might it be you would just transform my very mind, where the battle is often won and lost, that I might see what you see. Lord, would you comfort those in hospital, comfort those who struggle. May we be part of that solution as we remember them. Even this day, those who've lament Mother's Day for those they've lost. Lord, we lift them up. We thank you, Lord, that one day all will make sense before you. Until that time, we pray that we'll keep on keeping on. For any here who don't know you today, they don't know about you, about the cross, the gospel, might it be that they would come to know the wonder of Christ crucified. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross, even just for me, when I realized that day, what a glorious, happy day that was. Lord, wonderful. And so would you keep that song in my heart? May it never grow dull. And may we leave here more willing, more encouraged to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Was anyone here in the Scouts? Chris? Venture Scouts, Cubs. Yeah, I was a Cub, Giles. I never really quite made the big league. You can understand it. I couldn't quite get into the long trousers. The motto of the Scouts was be prepared. It probably still is. Be prepared. I like that motto. It's about being ready when they formed a Scout movement. And I used to like a program on TV as well when our girls were small. Rachel will remember this. Called Gladiators. I remember the original one, it's miles better. The original one was really good, and there's all these hunky dudes. And, I didn't want to do it, to be honest. But anyway, when our girls were small, we used to watch it, and the great thing was the Scottish guy. Remember what he used to say when the contestants were there? He used to say, Giles. Yeah, after that, he used to then say, Are you? Are you ready? Brilliant accent, yes. I think he was Scottish, though, Giles. we will get serious. But I used to love it because you used to say to the competitors first, competitors, are you ready? And they'd go. And then he said, gladiators, are you ready? So we would devise a game called Daddiators with a D. Getting them to bed was great, wasn't it? You remember that, don't you? I'd go on the bottom of the stairs. It was amazing. I'd be at the bottom of the stairs, right? And I'm the daddiator. And they're the competitors. I say, right, contenders, are you ready? They'd be like, yeah, really excited. Gladiators, daddiator, are you ready? And then I'd say, 3, 2, 1. And I'd put my hands at the bottom of the step. They would pelt up Rachel and Becky, and I'd be like,
on the bottom of the step. It was much more effective. It sounded like I was hurtling after them. And what I would do is I'd get to the top of the stairs and I would grab their sock. I could have easily caught you. I grabbed their sock and they'd go, no. And then we'd do other games as well. I am the pastor here, by the way. I've grown up ages ago, but it's, don't worry. But I used to love it because it was about being ready. And that was an awful introduction, but we really need to be ready. It's really important today. I want to be ready. We can hear a message in the Bible about, oh great, we need to be people who make disciples, close followers of Jesus. But the thing is, we can say, great, I'm going to go and do that now because I feel challenged. But if we don't prepare ourselves for what it means to be a disciple maker, I don't want to keep this stuff to myself. Ever since I came to Jesus, I had this passion in my heart that this mattered more than anything else. And so often we've been saying over the weeks, please do catch up online. I can't keep repeating myself. I can't keep repeating myself. But do catch up online. Do catch up online because it's important. We've been the whole series of 2 Timothy. And what I love about the Bible is, yes, we could efficiently expedite the whole passage in detail, what it meant then. And I loved that. But the Word of God is living and active, and it's that double-edged sword, which means now, and it actually energizes me now to be a disciple, a close follower of Jesus now. I don't want to cheer Timothy on. He's already in glory with his crown of righteousness. He's finished the race, Timothy. I'm still in it and want to finish well. Is anybody else? It's tiring, isn't it? It's tiring. And it's important. And what we've been looking at through 2 Timothy, we've been looking at it through the whole lens of what does it mean to be a disciple? To be someone who not only comes to Christ in the first place as their Lord and Savior, thank you for the cross. Thank you, you died in my place. You lived a life I could never have lived in 1,000 lifetimes, that perfect life. Thank you, Lord. I have my ticket to heaven, as it were. I want to be someone who not only sits there gloriously happy and worshiping God, but someone who says, how does this change my life? I don't want to just receive. I want to be someone who practices, and that changes my whole life. But not only that, that doesn't satisfy me, because I could probably practice in church and feel that was enough in my busy life. I want to be someone who not only receives and practices, but receives, practices, and shares. Great. That's encouraging. That encourages my heart. Receive, practices, and shares. Absolutely, Grace. It's important. And so we're looking at this whole thing because so often we've been missold a gospel. The gospel we've been told is that all you need to do is come to Jesus and acknowledge your sin, and then you have a ticket to heaven. And quite rightly, what happens is that we can be left in this place thinking, well, what do we do now? I was 16. I wasn't planning on leaving this earth anytime soon when I came to Jesus. So what do we do now? Now I've got my ticket, if I can use that word, for understanding only. And sometimes what then happens is that the church says, well, what you've got to do now is you've got to show your loyalty or allegiance, not a word we use a lot, to the church. And that's an honorable thing. And the church, I've said many times, can be a very able, almost surrogate on Mother's Day, surrogate parent. It can give us a false sense of spirituality because our allegiance is to the church. And so we say, well, what does it mean now? And the answer is, now you show your allegiance to the local church. And what we said last week, I won't say it all again, is that for many people, allegiance to Jesus Christ, his plan for your life, his purposes for his kingdom, how our place in his body, how we use our gifts, wherever we are, 24 hours a day, his plan can be gazumped by the local church, which I love. And that's a strange thing to say, but it is so subtle. The best deceptions are true. Our allegiance is only to Jesus. Without a doubt, we've said all the way through, God has this double gospel in a sense, that he says, right, my initiative, I have called you into relationship. The Bible calls his initiative a covenant, a promise. It's my bull. This is my initiative, and by my grace, you don't deserve this. I have called you into relationship. And then we full stop. But he says, but now. The Bible uses bought language, speaking to Christians, Christ followers, through Scripture. Paul is speaking most of the time to believers. He says, you are no longer your own. You have been bought at a price. That gives the kind of picture where to kind of have. So we've been challenged to be a people who not only come to Christ, but as a bought people who are no longer our own, to subsequently follow our new boss, Jesus Christ. And that's very, very different. And what Paul has done up to now, Paul has focused on giving Timothy examples of other people's loyalty. He started with himself. Timothy, you need to show an allegiance now. You are Christ follower to your new boss. Suffer with me. So he started with his own example, Timothy, in chapter 1. And then he describes someone called Onesiphorus. Great name. He is amazing. He's been so loyal to me under this awful regime of Nero and the Roman government. And then he describes everyday examples of a farmer and a soldier and an athlete, of everyday examples of people who work hard at being loyal and who are dedicated to the cause. And then if that's not enough for Timothy, he says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. If you really want the supreme example of what it really means to be dedicated, totally face set toward the task, remember Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead, he's divine, descendant of David, fully man as well, who came in the flesh. Wonderful, wonderful letter. Isn't the Bible rich? And there's so much more in those texts we know. But Timothy needs to be prepared. A lot of you have been excited. I've been really pleased by you saying, oh, yes, you know, really encouraged by that. But how can we prepare ourselves? I want to be someone who leaves a legacy of Christ following with everyone I meet. And that's a calling. It really is. It's a really tough thing. I'm not going to do that because I fail. But I want to. I want to leave a legacy of Christ following. But there's things that we need to prepare in our hearts if I'm going to be a disciple maker. Someone who follows Christ then makes disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And Paul talks to Timothy in our section. Thank you for reading, Emma, that section today. He talks to Timothy about how we might be prepared. Are you ready? Could be the question today. Be prepared. How can we prepare ourselves individually and as a church of God's people to receive, practice and share? And it's a continuous. It's not a one-off course. You know these things people do? I'm doing a discipleship course next week. Can I say there's some good ones? It's not about a course. It's about a whole DNA change of attitude towards why I am actually here on earth. Otherwise, Jesus would have come to Christ and we'd be in glory the next minute. We are here for a reason, to pass on the baton of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is the reason we're here. To glorify him as well. Everything we do and say matters. Preparation to be a people who receive, practice and share matters. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to look for a few minutes at what the sort of preparation Paul talks about to Timothy. Because you see, our words and everything, our actions give away. Look what Paul says to the Colossian church. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name
of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So the first thing we need to be, I think it's up there, preparing to be a disciple maker, approved work people. I know some of you are sensitive. Let's not quarrel about words, Paul says. Approved workmen. What does that mean? He gives three more pictures, Paul does. He says, Timothy, if you're going to really be prepared to do this properly, you need to be an approved workman. You need to be this useful vessel. I'm quite happy for them all to go, but at the same time, you need to be a willing servant. You need to be all of these things, a clean vessel, a useful vessel, a keen servant. These are the attitudes of someone who's a disciple maker. These are pictures for you, Timothy. What goes on inside? And you see, the first thing is the call to be an approved workman. Well, what does that look like? You see, our attitude to the truth of God's word matters. I would say, number one, the word of God is the key. If we are not delving into this, we are going to be empty, wishy-washy. Paul has spoken to Timothy about many things. And he's up to now in his letter, and he says, keep reminding God's people of these things that I've told you about, Timothy. Warn them before God against quarreling about words, angels on a pinhead, whatever it is, all these tittle-tattle you can get involved with in church life. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The only way we can correctly handle is by handling it. Pick it up. Listen. Hear. Lord, what are you saying? Meet with other people who've walked the road perhaps a little bit longer. Not necessarily in time served. Time served does not equal disciple. If they've been allegiant to the church all their life, they may still be a baby. You can tell usually, because they might get upset about some very, very basic things, quarreling about words. And so, we see here that Paul has spoken to Timothy about so many things. Christ, the great grace, mercy and peace, the Spirit's power, sound teaching, examples of loyalty and disloyalty, the centrality of the gospel. He's spoken about so many things. But it's got to be consistent. If this is your only exposure to the truth of God's word, this is going to be tough for you. Because Paul talks about consistency. Keep reminding God's people. Keep on doing this. Don't get sidetracked with subjective talk. Warn them before God against this kind of activity and chatter. Focus on the truth. Look at 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Do you know, I think I've said this many times before. There's a fast food restaurant that puts for their workers to train them because it's a fast environment. It can be easy to be fraud with money. They put a real note above the head, so not the public can see it, but on the counter side of the server side. I've said this before. And so the workers get used to staring at the £20 note, the £10 note. I know they keep changing, but they get used to staring at it. And they're so used to staring at it that when they see something that's not that, they know. We need to get used to staring and delving into the word of God and the truth of God's word. Then we will know when we hear it, when we sing it, when we, whatever it might be. And it's not about tickle tackle. It's just about the real tenets of God's truth that make it all about Him. Do your best to make the word of God your priority, Timothy. If you're going to be prepared to pass this on, Timothy, Paul is on death row. This is a big deal. And then Paul says, well, there's an opposite example, Timothy. Of course, you don't have to be obsessed with the word of God. Verse 16. Avoid godless chatter. Avoid godless chatter. because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Is that a surprise? Godless chatter in ungodly. So what makes me a disciple who wants to be a disciple maker? Truth in. It's basic math. I'm not great at math at all, actually. But chat minus God equals godless. There's so much godless chatter going on. I'm not saying that every single conversation you have with me has to be about 2 Timothy. I like talking about, you know, lamenting West Brom being relegated. Sorry, Charles. Sorry, Pat. I like talking about these matters and comforting, you know, those who comfort. I've been there. Portsmouth. Sorry, Robbie. So that's just mean. But you see, what Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, this is what you focus on. Because if you're not focusing on the truth, you're going to be focusing on these other issues. I have pastor friends who are burnt out trying to solve every member issues. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this. Can I say that's a real sad thing? If it's about the truth of God's word, we'll have a chat. And I want you to be comfortable. But I have pastor friends who burn out because they've got this pleasing gene. And when you've got 30 people, it's hard enough. Double it, treble it, whatever it might be. Forget it. The young people going into ministry at the Bible college, we say, they've got full of ideas. We're going to plant a church. It's going to be amazing. 1,000 people. We only have one master. And he's given us his truth. And he says, Timothy, anything outside of the truth of God's word in verse 17, it's like gangrene. It just runs through. It destroys the whole thing. It can impact and even kill the whole body. And the thing is, it can be quite subtle when we move away from the truth of God's word. He says in 18, he mentions Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. They've departed from the truth. They've gone off target with regards to the truth of God's word. And you see, if I'm not gazing on Jesus in my studies, if I'm not always thinking about how this relates to Christ in my life and my walk with him, then I'm looking elsewhere. And it's an easy step to take. It really is. We can depart from the truth means to veer off targets. It takes our gaze away from Christ and then leads to false teaching. Oh, the resurrection has already happened. Just like those takeaway workers, the more we gaze, the more we stare at and look into the truth of God's word, we will be able to identify error and be able to know and have a basis on which to be able to pass on. I don't want to pass on junk to people. It's okay for you. There's teaching in all sorts of churches that say, well, God heals everybody all the time. I was talking with a lovely family this week about this. And how so often my colleague at the university is doing a research in a certain denomination. Since they've in this country, their attitude to the NHS. Where the ambulances can be seen as the devil's taxis. Seriously. It's shocking. Shocking. Praise God for the NHS. Praise God for his provision around us. But you can see how we can get obsessed with kind of narrowing into certain types of teaching. It's about my health. It's about my wealth. It's embarrassing. It worries me when people depart from the truth. Even so-called famous preachers and teachers who have their own jets. What's that about? The half the world starving? Really? Come on. Could you? Really? I've got to leave that to the Lord because I get out of shape when I think about it too long. And I want to focus on the truth and follow Jesus. And really, rather than just destroying everything else, you know, that's easy to do, I want to make sure that I, Lord, please, please, I'm so vulnerable too, I can easily depart. I'm nobody. I need you, Holy Spirit of truth, who Jesus said would teach me all things, to guide me every step of the way. Be careful lest you fall. And I point it at myself first. And I'm glad, not at the same time, but I'm glad when you come to me and say, Keith, I'm not sure about that. That's okay. But we do that with gentleness as well and respect. If we want to truly be different, Timothy, and demonstrate an allegiant life, it starts with our attitude to God's word. Can I say, if you have a desire to be a disciple of Jesus today, what's your attitude to the word of God today? You cannot shortcut God's word. We can't cut that bit out and just do things to make us closer to Jesus. You can sing 1,000 songs. If you're not into God's word, you won't be an inch closer to him. And I know that's hard. I think the music, I love the music, augments, it kind of adds to. It brings me round and reminds me of the truth when I'm listening in the car, or it's beautiful. That's what I want to do. But Paul then says, Timothy, as well as, if you're going to prepare to be a vessel, you've got to get rid of the junk, I'll put it in basic England. You've got to get rid of the junk in your life. You've got to be ready to be used as well. You've got to be a useful vessel, a clean vessel. And that's hard, and it's constant, it's a constant sweep out. You don't sweep your kitchen out once at the beginning of your marriage or wherever, and you get a new place and say, well, that's that for 20 years. Well, I hope you don't anyway. I'm not coming round if you do that. Stay outside. No, I come to see you, don't worry. But you know, you wouldn't do that normally. And so often our lives can be crammed with junk. There's no room for God's truth in our lives. We can clutter our lives with all sorts of things. Look at 2021. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, from the common stuff, will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, set apart, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. So anything. As the word of God comes, he's sweet. As the spirit of God comes, the spirit and the word together come, it's beautiful. They sweep through our heart and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not that we're perfect. It's an ongoing daily sweep. I've always got the broom in my hand. I'm always saying, Spirit, please sweep it out. I get into Romans 7 and say, why do I do that? But the Lord says, we're continuing, Keith. We're continuing. You're doing a good job there, Rachel. And in verse 20 to 21, Timothy, if you're going to be prepared, if this is going to really work from you, let's face this, if we want a disciple-making movement, this is what Paul was talking to Timothy about. He wasn't just talking about a personal friend. He's talking about a disciple-making movement. We are involved in a movement. But it's got to start with me. I can't ask anybody to do what I'm not prepared to do myself. If you're not happy with this, model what you want others to do. Model how you want people around you to handle God's word. Model how you want people to worship. Some people come to me and say, I come to church, you know, I'd like more people to kind of get excited. Model it. It's been lovely to see a real mix within the church over recent months. I love it. Welcome. What a beautiful diversity. I really love it. Thank you. And Paul gives a picture of a vessel here. We are that vessel. Timothy, you're that vessel that God wants to use for this purpose. Did you know you're a vessel that God wants to use this morning? People say, well, I don't know what he wants me to do. Everyone is called to be a disciple maker. It might not be in the form of a youth pastor. It might not be in the form of worship or play. It's not what you do, it's who you are. Do you see that? A disciple is who you are. It's who you love. It's who you belong to. I am always a dad. 24 hours a day. No matter how big they get, you'll notice. You never stop worrying about your kids.
It'll drive you mad. Don't forget when they leave home. Forget it, it gets worse. The requests get bigger. It's DNA being a parent. It's beautiful. Thank you for that prayer as well, Rachel. That just covered so many bases. It's painful for many. But God wants us to be used, but it must be clean, empty of unwanted contents. Imagine if I invited you to my house for a meal, and you saw me in the kitchen cooking it, and I grabbed this pan out of the dishwasher that hadn't been on, and I poured the new stuff in there, and you'd be thinking, actually, I just remembered I've got to wash my hair. I don't use that excuse very often. But you see, we don't put clean things, it's just normal stuff. Paul's using normal vessel language that everybody gets. Disciple making shouldn't be theologically complex. It's about passing on what you've received and showing others what it's like and where the basis of your food is, God's word, the truth, and emptying out all the junk. And Holy Spirit, come, Spirit, break out. Tear those walls down. And Paul says there are special things and common things in 20. And as the word of truth comes in and challenges, the word comes and the Spirit applies the word. We allow it to declutter our lives. Colossians 3 again. We read it earlier on. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ, the truth of God's word, let the message of Christ dwell among you. Dwell. Live there. It resides. It's not a visitor on a Sunday. It resides the whole time. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. It's everywhere. It's rich. It's thick with it. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, through singing hymns, through songs from the Spirit of God, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And as we allow the word of God, Paul says, he then goes on to say, so then, whatever you do, verse 17, once you've allowed the Spirit to come in and clean the vessel and come inside, whatever you then do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus if you haven't had the Spirit to come in. You'll ruin it. You'll be a poor, terrible example. Let the Spirit come in and change us. I want that for me. I've got so much that I'm frustrated about his work in my life sometimes. Anybody else? I think I've mastered it until I can get behind the wheel. Do you know what I mean? There might be some little buttons in your life. You know, it's that prayer, isn't it? Lord, I'm really so thank you that I really seem to be that useful, empty vessel now, ready to use. And I know today, thank you so much, Lord, that I've really managed to keep my head today. And it's just been amazing and not lose my temper. But soon, Lord, I'm going to get up. That alarm's going to go off. It's like that. And Paul says, Timothy, dwell in the truth. Be that vessel. Allow the Spirit free roaming in your every room of your house. Don't have a glory hole. Anyone had one of those? My mum and nan had a glory hole. All the junk went in one room. Allow him in there as well. Everything, whatever you do. What do people hear from us? Who is it they hear us speaking about the most? Our expressed and our working loyalty and allegiance to our new boss matters. It's a measure of our maturity in Christ. A great old song says, I want to learn to speak of him, for this is not how I know. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth. Beautiful little song that, all the little verses. And so often we try to debate before Christ peace rules. And that's a real danger. So in a nutshell, can I say this and then I'm going to close down with a third point. If I'm going to be Keith Foster, if I'm going to be a loyal servant of Christ, I need to take in the truth of God's word and kick out the stuff that clutters. That's very basic English. That's what I've said in the last 20 minutes. And you might say, why don't you just say that then? If
I'm going to be a loyal servant of Jesus Christ. I need to take in the truth regularly, daily, sweep, the truth of God's word, sweeping out, being available. Come here, in my heart, my room, my life, my mind, and kick out the stuff that clutters. A basic example, if you have 10 minutes of God's word a week, or an hour, and 4 hours of soap operas, what's going to influence you the most? Let me tell you. We're mesmerized. I had an old pastor friend, I've got a TV, my mentor, used to call it the devil's face in the corner of the room. he was a good lad. I don't necessarily, I can see why. There's some real rubbish on there. But we just got to be careful. Careful. What comes in is discerning. It matters. Just really quickly. And when we take in the truth of God's word and then we're a vessel and we're full, what really saddens me is people who love the word of God, who are keen and willing to serve wherever they are, but their attitude really stinks. Have you seen that? It's awful. And it put people off. It worries me a lot. And Paul says the way to counter that thing is to have the attitude of a servant. A servant is constantly on the what does my master want watch. Always. Even at their own personal cost. A servant is a servant. And so the call to be a servant, keen servants. Timothy, this is going to be the attitude. If this is going to work as I go to glory, Timothy, if this is going to work, the disciples of Christ need to take in the truth of God's word over and over, deeply, deeply. Cut out all the chit-chat and the gossip and all the rubbish. It's gospel, not gossip. And then empty, allow the Spirit of God and the Word to empty that vessel. Be a useful vessel for the King. And then when you are ready, as you go, say, Lord, I'm your servant. Master, speak, your servant here. Longing for your gracious word. That's receiving, but I want to practice and share as well. So how allegiant should we be? The third picture, Timothy, a servant. I love Jesus, Mark 10:45. It's one of my favorite verses. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. Just before that, he'd said, whoever wants to be great amongst you must be your servant. So Keith, or whoever you ask, how will we know when the battle for my allegiance, my heart, my affection is being won? It's a continuous thing. Can I say, quite simply, it will stop being about me. A servant has to put me behind. And it's really costly. Whoever wants to come after me must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. What a beautiful verse. What a costly verse that is. That wasn't on the brochure when I went to that youth camp. It'll stop being about me, my comfort, my needs. I accept and respect that sometimes church is hard. We're just people trying to work it out. Beggars trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. It's a grace community. But I just want to help. Could I help? Could you help me do this better? I haven't got this all together. Can I admit that to you? And when I see him, then I shall be like him. Until then, I'll be a keen servant, sometimes a failing servant, but I serve a gracious master who loves me more than anything. And I love that. But a servant always has their master's will. And so, how do we keep focused, Timothy? Well, you've got to flee the evil desires in 22. Flee the evil desires of youth. It reminded me when I read that of Joseph. Remember Potiphar's wife trying all the time to tempt him? He fleed, left his cloak, fleed. We've got to flee those things. Lead me not into temptation, said the Lord. And instead of those things, we'll see, instead of all the godless chatter and all the other things, we'll start to see increasingly righteousness, 22, faith, love, peace. What a wonderful list. That fruit that is so characteristic of the servant of the Lord. I want to be that servant. And just in case you need reminding, Timothy 23, it's not about pointless debate. Don't have anything to do with foolish, and Paul says it how it is, and stupid arguments. He says, I love Paul. He says, some of the things people say are just stupid. It's just really great. Because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant, remember who your boss is. I say that all the time, I'm everybody's servant, but I've got one master. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. That is so hard. Able to teach and not resentful. There are so many things, can I tell you, in my life that I've asked the Lord why. Why was I diagnosed? Why did my parents die quite young? Why did this happen? All sorts of things. But I'm not resentful because my Lord lives. And he knows much more than I do. And I trust him implicitly. And when I see him, it'll all fade away. And the affirmation will be, Keith, well done, I pray. Good and faithful servant. And you know, when opposition comes, it will do at your workplace. If you're a servant of God, Jesus said, how happy, blessed are those who are persecuted because they belong to me, the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes of God's people. When opposition comes, it's a fantastic opportunity to demonstrate what a true disciple of Jesus really is. Isn't that crazy? When everyone agrees with me, it's marvelous, isn't it? I love it. Doesn't happen often, can I tell you, but it's when opposition comes, it's a great, look at this, 25 and early through. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope, you've always got the best for everyone in your heart, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, a turning around, leading them, here we go, back to the beginning, to a knowledge of the truth. It all comes down to the good seed, the soil, come in. Wonderful. So our approach in life as a disciple is not meaningless. We always have a goal. I want to represent Christ better. And my goal, even with opposition, is that they might too repent. They might come to see something different in me. When everyone in the office is fighting, when everyone, wherever it might be, is at each other's throat, in your family, whatever, how can I be different and demonstrate that Christ-likeness? If I've got the word of truth dwelling richly in my heart, if I'm a clean vessel for his purposes, then, and I'm a servant-hearted guy. Timothy, that's amazing. I want to be that person. I want to be ready, daddy-ator ready, disciple-maker ready to do this. And I want to not just run up the stairs, I want to run after God's things. I really want those things in my heart. See, Satan is so subtle. I see it all the time. Pray that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So many people are under the trap of Satan. Satan is very real. Don't let him kid you. He doesn't exist. He's very real. He's active in this world. But he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Isn't that wonderful? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. My time is up. The music group are going to come. Maybe you know people who are under the trap of the enemy. That miserable boss. All sorts of things. People around you. That unsaved partner. Whatever it might be. They need Jesus. Without a doubt. Can I say you're in their lives for a reason? Leslie and I pray for our family regularly. And I was really challenged. Can I say? Really challenged. Leslie and I were speaking just this week. And we were praying for the people that the members of our family that were unsaved. We were praying for their friends or anyone in their workplace who was a Christian. We were praying that they would have the courage to speak to our family. We need the Lord to work in those cities where we're not every day. Because we ache when we can't be there.
that we see them on weekends and we ache, but we're saying, Lord, can it be? And then the Lord said, yes, Keith, and do you know what? You're stood next to someone's son and daughter at the bus stop. You're stood next to someone who's praying across the other side of the world for their wayward child or father, whatever it might be. You might just be that disciple and that answer to prayer. I have a responsibility because we are family. We are God's people. I want to see beyond my own family and needs. I want to be a vessel in the hand of God for what he's doing, wherever that might be. And that would be wonderful. Robbie, I've got to say this. He was telling me a story about you met the guy at a training conference you went to who first gave the tracts to your wife who got saved. Robbie's wife, Anne, is beautiful. She came to Christ. A guy gave her this tract. Robbie went on a training course. He was in the police at the time, was it? I can't remember. And he said, hi. He looked at his name because his wife had given the testimony. And he said, are you the man? And he went, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says, you did a good job. She came to Christ and so did I. Amazing how God uses us as those willing vessels. I want to be a disciple wherever the Spirit moves me, but I need to be based on the God's truth, an empty vessel, willing to speak to anybody. And that would be lovely. Could I pray as the music group just prepare? Let us just bow our heads and maybe we can pray. Lord, help me to represent you well, to prepare my heart and life to be useful for your purposes, to show an increasing passion for your truth, to increasingly demonstrate my allegiance to you. To those around me, may I demonstrate that allegiance. Holy Spirit of truth, come and declutter my life. I open myself to you. Have your way. I pray that I will be like an approved workman, willing and able to cut a straight path through life, leaning and relying on your word. I pray I will be a noble vessel, empty, ready to be filled each day. I pray I will be a servant amongst those, a useful servant amongst those you have called me, but remembering I have one master. In Jesus' name, help me to receive, practice, and share for your glory. Amen. Let's worship God. Let's respond to him and open our hearts for the Spirit of God and Spirit of truth to sweep through and make us useful vessels. God bless you.
Would you like to stand as we go into a time of, before we close?
So good to see you, mate.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.